Hugh raves over this freshman defensive stud, talks a little bit about the offensive identity, and how much is he really having to re-recruit the roster?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Happy Tuesday. Ready to dive in, talk about this, obviously on Mondays, our Hughes Media Day. It was a rather benign press conference. Not a lot of just outlandish things out there, but I think there was a couple of things that are intriguing and a couple of things that confirm some things that I've talked about, that I've thought about, and just some fairly decent insight that we're going to discuss and play a couple of clips. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you another $100 back to play with absolutely free just by using the coupon code. You can live bet, you can parlay, teaser, however you like to bet. My bookie's got it in lines for days. Every single sport, every single team you can imagine, they got it. So definitely check them out, mybookie.ag. Hugh had to move his press conference back to 1 o'clock. I think they were going a little bit longer on meetings, obviously preparing for Texas A&M and all the problems that they're going to present, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And then, their running quarterback. And I think that's one of the first topics of discussion. Marcel Reed, who's been a sort of a revelation for Texas A&M. As a true freshman, he's been able to move around. He's been a dynamic factor in the run game. He's been able to extend plays and all the different challenges that's brought to opposing defenses. Auburn's faced a good bit of those this year. Auburn's faced a good bit of mobile guys. And I think some of the questions they asked early was, how that's prepared Auburn for this game. And one specifically asked about DeMarcus Riddick and how things have changed since he's gone. And let's hear what Hugh has to say.
Yeah, you just answered it for me. I mean, we changed when we started playing him. And not that others weren't playing well in spots, but without someone that has the ability that can run and tackle those dual threat guys in open field, it's a problem. And we had that all last year and part of this year, and he's made a difference in that because he has length and can run.
Recruiting matters, man. I'm a recruiting guy, and I talk about recruiting a lot. I love that's probably my favorite aspect of college football. But there's no more proof that recruiting matters than DeMarcus Riddick. And I could not agree with Hugh more there, is that when he started playing more, the defense was salty to begin with. Don't get me wrong. But when he started playing against Oklahoma, the defense really started to change and evolve into this much more, to me, more dynamic from a pass rushing standpoint, more dynamic from I think you're able to give different looks. You're able to be more multiple. You're able to be more confusing. You're able to contain better. So many things when he's on the field, it changes because of just what Hugh just said, speed and length. And that's the part of going and getting and transforming this roster, going and getting these elite players, especially on defense. You're having a lot of success on defense. And DeMarcus is one of those. I mean, I think about it's not – and then again, it's not only just speed and length, because you think about the play he made against Louisiana Monroe as a true freshman. It's like this big-time misdirection. I think it's going to be some type of reverse pass or some kind of rollout type thing that's easy, so easy. And honestly, the way they ran it, it was almost like hoping that DeMarcus would bite on it with his speed. And he didn't. He's not only does he have speed and he does he have length, but he plays above himself is from a maturity standpoint. He plays well beyond just being a true freshman. He does not make a lot of those true freshman mistakes. As a matter of fact, I can't really point to one. Maybe a couple of times where he's maybe gotten in so fast and missed a tackle or something like that, that maybe he'll be a little bit more disciplined in down the road to where he'll be able to break down and not overrun the play. But that, gosh, I could probably count those scenarios on one hand. He has just been it's very rare to me to see let me rephrase this. I don't think it's rare for one player to change a defense. It's rare that I've seen at Auburn, like you can put one guy, it's rare that I've seen it happen at Auburn that you can put one guy out on the field and it completely changes like the aspect of how a defense plays. Auburn has had good defenses, and maybe you got to go all the way back to, I mean, honestly, maybe especially on the defensive line, maybe like a Derrick Brown. In other words, you got to know where that one guy is. when you design your offense, when you design how you're going to attack, you got to know where that one guy is, because that one guy changes everything. And DeMarcus is not even slowly becoming that. He's becoming that already as a true freshman. Recruiting matters. And winning these type of battles are what matters, and seeing them being able to translate on the field is huge. So, got to keep that guy no matter what. You got to keep that guy, and I don't think there's any risk. There's not a lot of risk there as far as him wanting to go elsewhere. His family loves Auburn. He loves Auburn, and he's showing how much he loves Auburn every single week because he goes out there and gets after it. Switching gears, that's obviously the defense. Talk about offense a little bit. For weeks now, I guess ever since the Georgia game, I've been talking about how it feels like, and I haven't been able to really describe it very well, but it just feels like we're overthinking things. It feels like we're trying to put a square peg into a round hole. It feels like we're trying to sort of play call our way through the game instead of just, you know, be who we are and just kind of run the offense, kind of play protection, play not to make a mistake, play to sort of just not give the game away. That's the way it's felt to me since the Georgia game. And we've lacked explosion. We've lacked a lot of things. And obviously you had the Kentucky game where I felt like even though it worked, it was a similar deal where you were just, you're not going to take a lot of shots. You're going to, you know, pound the ball, run play action. And it just feels like this team doesn't have the makeup to be able to do that. And they were asked about, Hugh was asked about the success that you had against Louisiana Monroe and then how it translates over the next two games. So let's hear what he has to say.
The temptation when you're playing a really good defense like A&M is, man, we've got to figure out, we got to do a lot of things to try to keep them guessing on what kind of blocking scheme's coming, and then all of a sudden you're not playing with great confidence in what you're doing. And I think we've been guilty of that some this year, and I think our kids play a lot better when they feel comfortable that let's just go execute who we are. Now, are we good enough roster-wise right now to do that and win the games? I don't know, but I think that's probably the best chance and scenario for us to give our kids the chance to do it, and let's go see. So
I think Hugh must listen to the show. Hugh has to listen to the show because I think I've been saying that for several weeks now. When you start calling outside of yourself, you start doing things that you're not super comfortable with, then you start doing things with not a lot of confidence, like he said. And how accurate of a picture is that to what you've seen on offense the last 4 to 5 weeks? Just say go back through Georgia. I'll say this. Up until the Georgia game, they were turning it over, but I felt like they were confident in what they were doing. You know what I mean? Like you got to have a little bit of confidence to rip one in there and get picked off. Like it felt like to me, you kind of knew what you were doing. You felt confident in your identity. And then when that changed, it sort of, that's when everything sort of started to get discombobulated. And I understand why you did that. I mean, there's a lot of people, hey, pound the ball. You got to do this. You got to do that and stop turning it over. And you're trying to call things in a way to limit turnovers. And you sort of get out of who this team actually is. I don't think this team is a line up and pound the ball 20, 25 times a game team. You got one of those type of running backs, but I don't know that you have everything else in front of them. And, you know, untimely penalties. You know, this team doesn't really thrive well on having, you know, 10, 12 play drives. They need to be a big play. They need to be a big play team. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that every offense that Hugh has will be this way, but this team needs to be a, you know, very quick run tempo, get the ball out, hit them with some big, you know, hit them with some runs when you got tempo and you got them on their heels and you can rip off, you know, 5, 10 yard runs, those type things. But for the most part, it's, you know, getting the ball out to your playmakers and not being afraid that you're trying to play call your way out of a turnover. I think that's been Auburn's Achilles heel. And Hugh basically mentioned, I mean, he said, we're kind of guilty of that. You know, we're trying to sort of, you know, lean on our defense and protect the ball. And then you get out of who you are. And I think that's the way Auburn needs to play. That's the way they need to call the offense moving forward over these next two games. If they want to have any chance is, hey, look, we have to, what we do well is we throw the ball down the field. We get it out of, we get it quickly out of Peyton's hands. And you know, we'll mix in the run and get Jarquez 14, 15 big carries in a game. But get ahead of the chains, go fast, get that tempo going. I think that's just the identity of this team. That's the identity of this offense. And they've gotten away from it the last several weeks. But yeah, I think that's the best thing. That's the best thing moving forward for them to sort of build off of. Forget turning it over. Forget what we've done in the past. Let's be who we are, and let's just, whatever happens, happens. If we struggle, we struggle. But at least we're doing something we're confident in, instead of trying to be somebody or be some offense we're not. Receivers. A lot of talk was about, you know, it was about Cam Coleman, and he got 8 catches versus his 15 for the year. He got 8 in this year, 8 in this game. You know, how do we get him more touches or, you know, this, that, and the other. And I like Hugh's answer here because he articulates it well, better than I could, because it's not as easy, especially when you're really working on short passing. It's not as easy to just say, it's not as easy to say, hey, we're going to give Cam 8 catches, just like you're going to give Jarquez 8 carries, because the defense dictates that basically. And the receiver to an extent, like he may not win a battle. He may not win his one-on-one. He may not run the correct route. So there's a lot of things to go in, but that was one of the questions asked. How do you get Cam Coleman more involved after his big game?
I would love to answer that, Mike, and say absolutely we're throwing it to him 8 times, but I don't get to dictate the coverages. And I know a lot of people, you know, yes, we can design a play to take a shot to him, but it's really hard to design a play that you guarantee he's going to get a short route thrown to him, because I don't know, man. They might be in cover 2. They might be in, you know, tight man. So it's really hard. It just happened that, man, early in the game Saturday, we had some RPO opportunities, and every one of them were counter to him. And then we had a couple third down throws where – we ran a little mesh route, and he was the option on that. And I don't know that pre-snap that he will be, but I would love to say that he's going to get, you know, 8, and Malcolm's going to get 8, and Perry's going to get 8, and Dre's going to get 8. But I don't. That's very difficult for a coach to really know where the ball's going to go. when you call one of those pass plays, for sure. But it does, I think, breed confidence when that happens.
I mean, you got multiple receivers that you got to get the ball. It's just really tough to say or guarantee that, you know, every single game that you're going to be able to get an adequate amount of targets to each one. Because again, what if they take Cam away? Like, what if they bracket Cam? What if they do different things? And like he said, it just so happened that they were giving Auburn a lot of those short, quick passes, and the reads were kind of going towards Cam's side each time. And I understand that there's offenses that can scheme open. You can, and Hugh even mentioned it, you can draw up a play that can scheme him open. And I think they've done that at times. I mean, I think of the Missouri game, of that particular one. There's times where you've done things to get a guy open. Typically, though, those are deeper, longer developing things, because it happens off of a lot of other routes and picks and things like that. And when you're having offensive line protection issues, those are kind of tough. You know what I mean? Like, who knows if some of those sacks, as many times as Peyton's been sacked this year, who knows if that was not one of those plays that was drawn up to get Cam or Malcolm or some one of these guys a deep shot. So again, it sounds easy. Oh, he's got to have more targets. I've heard that 1,000. You got to get him more targets. Well, that sounds awesome, but we're not playing Xbox. It's not like, okay, Cam is A, so we're just going to make sure that we hit A 10 times a game. Like, I mean, come on. It's a little bit more complicated than that. It just so happened that they were getting the ball out quick. They were going to have a little bit more of their traditional identity. And it just so happened that Cam happened to be a lot more of those reads, but you see how dynamic he is and how he can take over a game. And I think a game like this is good, because I think there's been some times where Cam's probably had some confidence issues. So this is one, especially, I mean, that one-handed catch. I mean, when you make a play like that, you just think you have to have the most supreme confidence that you can catch anything. You can run any route. You can do whatever. So that a game like that, we can argue over should he get more? Should this have been happening all year if we want to we're blue in the face? But the fact of the matter is, those games are good for him. They're great for him. And hopefully it's something that can continue to build confidence as we move on. Had a new kicker this week, and that was a topic of discussion. He had a really good game. Made two field goals, made all his extra points. Awesome story. Let's hear what Hugh has to say about the kicking situation.
Forward. It'd be hard to take it from him at this point, because, you know, I think Towns is going to be outstanding. I think he's a young freshman, and all of our freshmen are making mistakes that are playing, and kickers probably get, you know, more magnified than a DBs or defensive linemen. So I want to be sure everybody hears me loud and clear. I think his future is extremely bright. You don't get that type of leg strength often. Currently, you know, I mean, Ian is batting 100. And, you know, those have been critical plays in some of our losses that, you know, had we made those, the whole dynamic of that game at that point kind of changes. And so we're not going to take the ball out of his hands right now. And I'm proud that it's a great story. And, you know, he came through when he got his number called Saturday, so he'll get another chance.
Definitely got to show Ian some love. Cool story. I mean, transfers from Birmingham Southern when they shut down the school. I guess I don't know that Birmingham Southern exists anymore. At least their athletic. I remember their athletic department definitely does. I remember the basketball team last year, or maybe it was the baseball team. One of the two sports teams was going on a run. I think it was baseball, actually, in that division, playoff, World Series, whatever. And everybody's talking about it because the school had shut down. So, like, they were playing, and they don't even have a school anymore, basically. So Ian comes to Auburn, gets a chance to go in and does really well. And I mean, Hugh's right. How the dynamic could have changed had you just made a couple more kicks this year, a couple of different games play out differently. So I still do believe, I agree with Hugh. I think Towns is going to be a really good kicker. you can see the talent on his kickoffs when he just booms it, you know, 8-9 yards deep in the end zone almost every single time. That's the legs there. You just got to work on it and build more confidence in the offseason. And he's shown at times he's had confidence. I mean, the A-Day game, I think he could have kicked until the sun went down, and he would have never missed one. So he's going to be good, but this is still a great story. Got to show Ian Bishon some love for you know, what he's done. And then one of the last things we're going to talk about is player retention. Hugh talked about he was asked about recruiting his roster and how those conversations were going and this, that, and the other. And he had this to say.
I don't do much of that. I think, you know, our personnel office has been being very proactive with, you know, talking to our current roster. And Jason Campbell does an outstanding job, you know, representing our collective and some of those discussions. And there's so many changes going on in the world with what we hear might be coming in July. And, you know, you're just trying to give them accurate information. But I think you've got to be proactive. And I just work on coaching them and having genuine relationships with them. I do know that I believe that most feel that they could come and have a conversation with me, and to have, and you know, I say I'm gonna tell you the truth, and whether you like it or not, I'm fixing to shoot it straight to you. And but most of those have gone through our personnel office, and I like it that way, truthfully. And I just, man, I want to just continue to work on having real, genuine, authentic relationships and being able to coach them and develop them.
I'd really love to know which two guys those were. He said he had two guys that have come and talked to him, but the most part, it's going through the player personnel staff, which they spent a ton of time and a ton of money on building this past offseason. That was one thing that was an emphasis, and you saw it with the hire of Will Redmond. And then couple that with On to Victory and Jason Campbell, I'm sure these conversations are happening or have happened either A, through the players or through their representation. It's just the reality of today's game. Now, from a contributor standpoint, I've been asking around doing all the kind of research that I can possibly do. I think Auburn is in, believe it or not, in a really good spot with a lot of the contributors. There's going to be some stuff that there's going to be some folks that leave. I'm sure there's going to be some guys that they basically there's going to be guys that you're going to have leave because you got to be able to refill, fill their spot. So I guess the confidence in knowing that you don't, as the head coach, you don't have to be the one having all those conversations, it ought to feel pretty good, I guess, especially with who you have in those off the field roles. But yeah, it's reality. And when you're 4-6, and you're struggling. There's going to be guys coming calling. There's going to be teams calling. There's going to be some tampering done. So he talked about, you know, being proactive, and he talked about the conversations that are being had. He just sort of. His focus is the relationship, because when you start getting into where your relationship is built around money and what are you going to give me, it's not even genuine anymore. It's just it's almost like a servant master type relationship. And you know, because I'm just trying to serve you. I'm just trying to fill your needs versus we're having a relationship, you know what I mean? And you're trusting in me, and you're doing, we're trying to build our relationship together. It goes beyond that to where now I'm just sort of a yes, sir type thing. I'm just doing whatever you're asking. And now I have no control over the team. I have no control over the culture. I like the idea of those guys being able to, you know, have that relationship. And not have to always be talking about the money, always be talking about, you know, that type of stuff with Hugh. There's guys for that. And I like the way they keep that separate. So let's see what happens the rest of the week. I know we're going to have some recruiting updates. We're going to be talking about the game as it gets closer. It's really big recruiting weekend. It's our last real hoorah before signing day, which is crazy to think about. But it's your last visit weekend that you have before signing day. And it's kind of crazy the way this whole calendar has been set up. There's just no time after the season to bring anybody on visits. This is it. So you got to knock it out of the park. Night game. Let's see what happens. Love the odds of being at Jordan-Hare at night of something crazy happens. So we'll see what happens. But, guys, I really appreciate you listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be back every single day this week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.